Second, Old Testament commandment and principle is not, actually it's the same, why I put two, but let me just say, Old Testament principle command is not obsoleted unless New Testament specific, correct, is a little bit different. New Testament specifically and expressly say is obsoleted. Get what I'm saying? For example, the book of Hebrews tells us that we no longer have to offer animal sacrifices. So what Moses taught, inverted comma, is we don't have to practice it anymore. Another example, Acts 15, remember? The Jerusalem Council, they spoke and said that you Gentiles are exempted from some of this thing. You don't have to circumcise and you have to do this and that. If the New Testament specifically says so, then it's obsoleted. Okay, we cannot assume. So I ask you a question. Even though New Testament do not talk about David's commandment about the heavenly order of worship, do you think it is obsoleted? Do you think it's obsoleted? It's not. It's timeless. It's valid. God still insists. God insisting on that heavenly order of worship. Turn with me to Acts 15. Acts 15. Go and think. I know you all are. Go and think. It is very interesting. If that is true, there are a lot of things we shouldn't practice about Old Testament. You know, I know a church who say that Old Testament is obsoleted. They are practicing a lot of things of Old Testament. Why do you need someone to go and do house cleansing for you? Every one of us can do it, no? You know why in the Old Testament you need a priest to do it? Because only a few selected men have the anointing. That's why you have to have the Ang Moh Sai Kong kind of thing. New Testament, every one of us can do it because we all have the Spirit. We can do it. It's always valid. Of course, some things begin to apply in the spirit of New Testament. If it's not mentioned, whether mentioned about it's still valid or not, or mentioned that it's no longer working, it still applies, even if it's silent. Okay, turn with me to Acts 15. Acts 15. Acts 15 give us one powerful insight into the importance of house of prayer in the spirit of tabernacle of David. Because if you, most of you are familiar with Acts 15 verse 16 to 17. In the context of Jerusalem Council, Apostle James stood up and he quoted an end time prophecy by Prophet Amos in Amos 9:11, okay, which talks about the promise of the restoration of tabernacle of David. Please get me right, okay? Hear me carefully. First of all, this Amos 9:11 prophecy, okay, is the promise of the restoration of David's Davidic reign. That means specifically, no, the fullness of it, the fulfillment is in the millennium kingdom. Specifically, when you talk about the fullness of the restoration of tabernacle of David, it speaks about Jesus' millennium rule over all nations during millennium kingdom. I'm not the end yet. Listen carefully. It speaks of Jesus' millennium governmental rule over all nations based on 24/7 Davidic order of worship. The full fulfillment of that tabernacle. That means they will do exactly what David did. They will do exactly what Solomon did. But at the same time, you need to understand, that also gives a little bit of hint of where that leads to. Because if you understand prophecy, fulfillment will be always in stages. Before the full restoration of the tabernacle of David comes, that's why what God is doing right now, he's raising up a prototype house of prayer in the spirit of tabernacle of David. See, David's life and Solomon's life is a very powerful foreshadow. David is the foreshadow of the end time generation. That's why we are called the David generation. Solomon is the prototype of Christ. David built the tent of David. And in David's life, there's no peace. He's fighting war. That's why he's not allowed to build the temple. In Solomon, he's instructed to build the temple. See, David is like the foreshadow of the house of prayer in the spirit of tabernacle of David. Solomon is the foreshadow of Christ, which fulfilled the Amos 9:11 prophecy. Jesus will come. He will restore the actual tabernacle of David, where nations will come and worship him. Talking about the world evangelization. Now you understand? Acts 15 is vital. Acts 15 basically James quoted Amos 9:11, but Amos 9:11 is not primarily about the house of prayer in the spirit of tabernacle of David, but it does talk about, implied, that there will be a worship movement that will come, because in any prophecy it fulfills in stages. That's why now house of prayer in the spirit of tabernacle of David is going ahead. This will be the foundational reality that will release the millennial kingdom of Jesus until the fullness come, and the fullness and the actual tabernacle of David will be built by Jesus. Now you understand? Turn with me to Acts 15. Let me just run through Acts 15. Acts 15. But you say, where does New Testament talk about heavenly order of worship in the order of David? Slowly, because still got time. I'll just prove slowly to you. Okay. Now, I'm doing this in pain is because we are the voice. We got to advocate. No, don't go into this mystical house of prayer thing, put an ark thing. I deny you. Okay. It's not about putting the ark there. It's in the spirit. Okay. Turn with me to Acts 15. Let me just read Acts 15, verse 16 and 17. The context of Acts 15 is Jerusalem Council. Because the early apostles and the early churches, they face a crisis. Actually, it's not much a crisis. It's a good problem, because Gentiles are getting saved without observing the law of Moses, and certain custom of Jews, they didn't circumcise. They still eat pork. They didn't follow whatever Jewish practice. So they were concerned. Basically, they are not converted into Judaism. That means they are not messianic Judaism in a sense. So they were concerned. And in the midst of settling this issue, where they concluded that salvation of Gentiles is part of God's plan and is by grace. Apostle James stood up and he quoted Amos 9:11. Of course, he understood what this is about, but he's also talking about the spirit of it. The fulfillment of the world evangelization. So don't get me, please understand, please get it right, okay? Please go and tell, don't go and tell people saying that one thing ministry is building the house of prayer. No, one thing ministry is restoring the tabernacle of David. We are not. We deny that. But we affirm that we are building the house of prayer in the spirit of tabernacle of David, where there are four elements. Understand now? Okay? Because you go and tell that, then I'm called a cult. Then it's not my problem, it's your problem. We are not, I just say it one more time. We are not building the tabernacle of David. If you want to, go ahead. But don't say you're for one thing ministry. But we are building the house of prayer in the spirit of tabernacle of David. Okay, let's read Acts 15. Once I get this done, I'm going to tell you what is Davidic order of worship. Acts 15, verse 16. After this, I will return and will rebuild the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down. I will rebuild its ruins and will set it. Understand this. James is talking about the spirit of it. I will set it up. Verse 17. So that the rest of mankind may seek the Lord, even all the Gentiles who are called by my name, says the Lord who does all this thing. When James quoted this, he's making two points. One primary point, one secondary point. The primary point is actually verse 17, where he talks about salvation of Gentiles, because they are questioning, how come Gentiles got saved? Because this arise after Acts 10. Remember Acts 10? Cornelius. Cornelius got saved. But they did not follow the custom of Jew. So James is saying that this is why it's being prophesied. This will happen. But he has gone beyond that prophecy, saying that, no, gone beyond the issue of Gentiles got saved. Say that one day the Great Commission will be fulfilled over all nations. There will be fulfillment of world evangelization. Nations will be saved. That's why he said in verse 17, Gentiles will come. All mankind will seek the Lord. Of course, he's referring to the millennial kingdom. It will come. But he's making the second point, which is a secondary point, which is verse 16. That's why the word, the key is, so that. That's why the fulfillment of this promise hinges on the restoration of the spirit of tabernacle of David. The key, and it's vital. Restoration of the Davidic order of worship is vital to the fulfillment of Great Commission. God has chosen to restore this order of David, this order of worship and intercession as an essential element in releasing the fullness of revival. That's basically what James is saying. He said that nations will turn to the Lord, so that nations will turn to the Lord. You know why? After the house of prayer in the spirit of tabernacle of David. Of course, I'm saying again, emphasizing again, primarily the prophecy in Amos 9:11 is not talking about 24/7 worship movement. It's talking about the restoration of the governmental rule of Jesus in the millennial kingdom. But he's talking about the spirit of it. The house of prayer in the spirit of tabernacle of David will be the foundational reality in releasing the fullness. We need to understand that. That's why I always say this. They say, wow, one day we have 24/7 house of prayer, you'll be cool. It's not about being cool. In fact, it's cumbersome. You know, we are all happy. You're happy because you look at IHOP website once in a while, and if you're doing it 84 slot. I like what Mike Bicker says. It's a pain. It's a pain. Because it's 84/7. Like it, don't like it, you got to do. Because you know why? It's not about being cool. It's essential. It is essential. Okay, now, let me explain to you what is this Davidic order of worship. Or we call it house of prayer in the spirit of tabernacle of worship. You know why it's called Davidic order of worship? Because, remember I say it, God desire the heavenly order of worship. It's called Davidic order of worship because David has a glimpse of how worship and intercession is being done in heaven. Turn with me to Psalms. Psalms 119. I'm going to talk about what is this Davidic order of worship and intercession, and what does it mean for New Testament church? Because we are not going to do exactly the same as David do, but there are four elements that is vital in expressing the spirit of tabernacle of David. Psalms 119 gives us a powerful insight that David actually has a glimpse of a heavenly order of worship. Let me tell you, it's true. Do you know that Revelation 4 and 5 is true? I tell you when I come to it. Psalms 119. Psalms 119. Verse 96. David wrote Psalms 119, where he talks about he had a glimpse into heaven, and I believe that because he had a glimpse into heaven, he understood what is the heavenly order of worship. Okay. Psalms 119, 96, verse 96. David said this, I have seen the consummation of all perfection. You know what is he referring to? If you study this verse carefully, talking about he has a peek into heaven, he saw the very throne of God. He saw how this is going to be done. That's why David understood what is the heavenly order of worship? And that's where he put, remember, an ark at the center, singers around the ark, 24/7, intercession, worship, antiphoner. Let me tell you why. Write down these two verses. Isaiah 6, verse 1 to 8. Isaiah 6, verse 1 to 8. Revelation 4 and 5. Isaiah 6, verse 1 to 8. Revelation chapter 4 and chapter 5. These three chapters are three of the, is probably the chapters that give us the clearest, not the clearest, because I don't think I know everything about the Bible. These three chapters, Isaiah 6, verse 1 to 8, I challenge you to go back and read it carefully. Isaiah 6, verse 1 to 8. Revelation chapter 4. In fact, no, it's true. What happened in Isaiah 6 and Revelation 4 and 5 is true. I share with you before that I have a slight encounter of that. It's exactly the same, because Bible tells what it means. There is really a throne there, and this is how they done the worship. Of course, not this way. Okay, that's not how he done. Okay, Isaiah 6, verse 1 to 8, Revelation 4 and 5, give us one of the clearest picture of heavenly order of worship and intercession. There are four basic elements. Okay, listen carefully. That's why David did what he did. That's why we are doing what we are doing. Because we want to duplicate, in very comma, this heavenly order of worship. Because Matthew 6, verse 10 says what? On earth as it is in heaven. Isaiah 66, verse 1 says, what kind of house are you building for me? I'm not just looking for any kind of worship. I want Davidic order of worship. There are four elements. Four elements. First one is around the throne. It's always around the throne. Go ahead and read this verse. Isaiah 6, verse 1 to 2. Isaiah 6, verse 1 to 2. Revelation, the whole of Revelation 4 and 5. Their worship go on around the throne. You know, I tell you, I can't wait for eternity. You know what you're going to do in eternity? You're going to worship God before His throne. I mean, this is not just all. Do you know where we will be standing? We will be standing on the sea of glass. You know why it's a sea of glass? This is not just crystal, no. Another translation is a sea of fire. We'll be standing on the sea of fire with a new resurrected body. The sky will be covered in sapphire blue where the revelation of God keep coming forth. That's why in Revelation 4, you keep bowing out to worship. They say, people say, well, heaven will be boring. Trust me, it will not be boring. You will be all consuming. That's why what we are doing right now is only a glimpse of it. And if you understand, and the word really strike your heart, it's intoxicating, it's fascinating. And you can go on. That's the principle. You know, how do you have joy in the house of prayer? It's around the throne. The first element is around the throne. You know what's the second element? If you read again Isaiah 6, Revelation 4 and 5, it has to be 24/7. 24/7. Revelation 4, verse 8. The four living creatures, without ceasing, crying out day and night, night and day. That's why David put up singers, musicians round the clock, because he wanted to do exactly. You know that is what God insists for the end time prayer movement? Where is Isaiah 62, verse 7 and 8? Give me no rest, day and night, night and day. It has to be. Third one. You will have to be an element of intercessory worship. Revelation 5, 8. You will be harp and bow. Okay, not harp, not bow, not intercession, not worship. But it's intercessory worship. I want to talk about it along the way. Fourth element. It has to be antiphoner. It has to be antiphoner. Write this down. Isaiah 6, verse 3. Isaiah 6, verse 3. You know what does Isaiah 6, verse 3 says? The seraphim cry out to one another Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. His glory, what? Shall cover the whole earth. You know what they mean by cry to one another? They are singing responsively and interactively to one another. For example, I'm an angel singing to Cynthia, who is another angel. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Then she responds. This is how it is done in the heaven. If you read Revelation 4 and 5, it's the same. The four living creatures sing the song. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was, who is to come. Then the 24 elders respond. They bow down, they worship, they cast the crown on their face. No, they cast the crown before the throne of God and begin to respond. Worthy is he to receive all glory, honor, and power because he has created all things. They respond to one another. Is it worship? Is it prayer? It's never that clear. That's why we are doing what we are doing. It's not because we're trying to make life difficult. You know, I pray now for anything, got to sing or to pray and so on. Because it's responsive. You see, in the Bible, it's always, come to worship, it's always interactive. It's responsive. That's why David did it the way that he did it. He put the ark at the center. He put musicians, singers around the throne because there's a symbol of the throne. He go around 24-7 because in heaven it's 24-7 without ceasing. And he harp and bow. There's three elements. Worship, because you know why there's worship? Because they are Levites. They are intercession, because they are priests. Write this down. 1 Chronicles 25, verse 1. 1 Chronicles 25, verse 1. Not just intercession worship, but there's a prophetic element. Because they sing prophetically. That's why we call our four singers not backup singers. They are prophetic singers. Because they're supposed to sing prophetically. See, in the Bible, prophetic is not means you predict events. It's about telling the heart of God. While you are singing, suddenly God put that. Sing this out. Tell the people to arise as a bride of Christ. Arise, bride of Christ. Is it a prophecy? Because it's a prophecy declaring the very heart of God. So there are four elements in the heavenly order of worship. Around the throne, 24-7, harp and bow, intercessory worship, antiphona. How does it apply in a New Testament church? What does it mean? Let me just run through it. Then I'm going to give you a challenge. First one, around the throne. Principle, okay? I give you the principle and the spirit of it. Because we may or may not encounter the throne. See, the key is this. Worship and intercession around the throne is about this. It's about agreement. It's about agreement. You know why? Those who are nearest to the throne of God, if you read Revelation 4 and 5, those who are nearest to the throne of God know who he is, understand what he wants. And worship around the throne is about agreement. That's why how we define worship in the house of prayer, in the spirit of tabernacle of David. What is worship? Voluntary agreement with who God is. We don't just sing about God. We sing to him. We proclaim who he is. We agree, Lord. You are holy. Do you know there's a power every time we sing that? We push back the power of darkness. But there's worship around the throne. How do you know? The word. Don't wait till you see the vision of the throne. Open up the word of God. It's about knowing who God is. You agree. We agree, Lord. This is who you are. That's what we do. That's why we are very particular what kind of song we choose. When we talk about worship around the throne, we know who he is and we agree. I agree, Lord. You are holy. I agree, Lord. You are majestic. I agree, Lord. You are all-loving. This is true. Have you ever heard me say this very often? This is true. Your judgment is deep. This is true. All your ways are righteous. This is true. Your love is unending. Worship around the throne. Something breaks when you do that. It's so simple. No, is it? That's why it's very powerful. It's all about agreement. When you move, the Spirit of God using the word strike your heart. Yes. You know, every time I come to pray, whether it's Devo or apostolic, I never prepare one. I don't even know what's the first verse I'm going to use. It's while pacing. No, the key is not pacing. No, people always say pacing, looking for the zoop. Once in a while, there is. No, once in a while, there is. I'll come, oh, here, it's very short. Oh, no, so, no, don't follow. This is just my whatever. It's my pacing, waiting for the kiss of God. Strike my heart. Oh, God, and through the songs. You know, a lot of times, like sometimes when Darren leads, you know, there's one he's singing about, everything that I want is found in you. Suddenly he strikes my heart. Yes! Isn't this about Song of Song, chapter 1, verse 2? Your love is better than wine. Everything I can find is in you. So I go to the mind and say, God, I agree. May this be a reality. Isn't it worship? Then what is prayer? Around the throne. Agreement. No, that worship is proclaim. What is intercession? Around the throne. You agree with what is in the heart of God and what He has promised. That's why we pray the scripture. You know why we pray the scripture? Not just anything you want. Thy will be done. How do you know what is God's will? It's in the Bible. It's all by the Spirit. I do like by the Spirit. But unfortunately, a lot of times we by the Spirit is actually our feeling and our emotion. What does John 4 say? John 4, 25. God is seeking for a true worshipper who worship in spirit and in truth. The Spirit does not violate the Word of God. Everything you pray from the Word of God is the heart of God. That's why we pray from the Scripture, and that's why we are very particular about teaching. We don't just pick one Scripture and pray in your own interpretation. It must be a correct interpretation according to the heart of God. Isn't it agreement with God's heart? What He wants to do? Now you understand? I think some people are confused. Because we have never done it. Do you know that's what David's singers and musicians does? What do they use? By the Spirit? Come on. In the Old Testament, not everyone has the anointing of the Holy Spirit. So what do they use? Psalms. They sing the Psalms of David. I tell you, you're talking about boring. That is the Word of God. They sing the Psalms of David. The Word of God. And they pray the Psalm of David. Around the throne, agreement. Worship is what? Proclaim. Proclaim who He is. Intercession? Claim. That's why when you sing, you can be worshipping, a prophetic singer, you can be interceding. Depending on how you sing it, the position of your heart, and how you say it. Say, well, how you say it is so important. It is important because your word, anointed by the Spirit, based on the word of God, have power. Understand? Second principle, which is easy. 24-7. Because worship in heaven never ceases. Through all eternity. I tell you, it's true. I know. If that happened one day, I'm going to cry. I'm looking for that moment. 5 minutes to 10, we are about to change team. Angel playing. Bell will come. Slowly, he'll nudge her back. No, don't nudge. Just push her aside. Then you take over the keyboard. The music never ceases. You know, that's what IHOP Kansas City does. I tell you, every time I see, my heart kind of like cry a little bit, you know, in a good sense, because wow, this is the same in heaven. In heaven, you don't have to sleep. But on earth, we can't tahan that long. But we are trying to do that. When that happened, the first time I tell you, I'm going to cry. So, wow, we are one step closer. No, it's true. That's what happens. People say, why I hope Kansas City is so rigid? Stop 5 minutes, lah. No, why must we compromise? Do it. Because that's what God wants. He will honor. I'm praying for that. You'll be beautiful, man. You see me, just changing. Well, why? What's wrong? Because that reality of that worship never stopped. No, it's true. Look at that. Fire on the altar shall be kept burning. It will not stop. You know, one of the powerful statements about IHOP Kansas City is that September, I can't remember when, September 1999, from that day onward, music literally did not cease. That itself is a powerful testimony. Do you realize that? Wow. Okay. Third element. It has to be harp and bow. Intercessory worship. No, please get me right. What is harp? Harp is worship. What is bow? That's Revelation 5:8. Bow is what? Intercession. See, the key is this. I'm talking about intercessory worship. Not just worship, not just intercession, but intercessory worship. That means there's no clear distinction. Because if you study the Bible does not separate worship and intercession. Go and study worship and prayers in the Bible, especially in the temple worship. And even the heavenly order of worship in Isaiah 6 and Revelation 4 and 5, they don't separate. What we are doing is this. A worship will worship until they are tired. No, not they are tired. Time's up. Now, intercessor, take over. That is wrong. It's the same. And you play the role. You know, one of the greatest problems right now is worshippers think that they are not intercessors. Intercessors think that they are not worshippers. There's no such thing. You are both worshipper and intercessor. It's intercessory worship. It's interconnected. That is the power of it. And that brings the inverted comma joy in prayer and worship because you never end. You don't know when it begins and when it ends. That's what it is about. That's what we're trying to inverted comma duplicate. I tell you, when we start, it was much, much worse than this. But I have a vision. Now it's so much better. Of course, we can go much further. Do you know now it's so much better? We are actually moving in much freedom. We are just waiting. You know, we are waiting for the real anointing to come. No, don't bluff. A lot of places have no anointing. They have hype or emotions. And Mike will tell you the same. IHOP, by and large, is unanointed. Once in a while, there's anointing. I love what George Otis Jr. says. 70% of the church worship right now, at most, is hyped. If at best, it's enthusiasm, not anointing. Just do what you need to do. Wait for the Holy Spirit to come. But we still need to do something. So, oh, flow. Flow what? I hate this teaching about flow because a lot of time we teach about flow. It's totally unbiblical. It's about a lot of time it's your emotion, your feeling, and it's about hype. You know, do we understand what we are singing? We don't. We don't want to pray while we are praying. We don't. That's why there's no separation. I say before, when you read Psalms, Revelation, Isaiah, they don't separate prayer or songs. It's always intertwined. Write this down. Most biblical form of intercessory worship is interactive relationship between worship, intercession, and you throw in the prophetic spirit. You know what is prophetic spirit? You declare. Worship is you proclaim. Intercession is you claim. You ask God, this is what you desire. I'm asking you to do it. What is prophetic? You declare. God tell you what he wants to do. You speak it. That's what it is. How do you work? You worship, then you pray a little bit, you pray a little bit, you worship, then suddenly God said, declare. You declare. No one plans a prophecy. That's how it works. I said, how do you work? Turn with me to Revelation 5. Revelation 5. Revelation 5. No, David understood it. That's why David insists. He insists because he knows that God inhabit upon the praise of his people. He understood the power of intercessory worship. He understood that. Do you know that? Write down this verse. Psalms 8, verse 1 and 2. Psalms 149, verse 5 to 9. Psalms 8, verse 1 and 2. Psalms 149, verse 5 to 9. Because David know that intercessory worship is the vehicle that God ordained to release life, power, authority, and the government of God here on earth. Do you know that's what Jesus will do when he ruled the millennium kingdom? It's going to be still true. Intercessory worship. That's why it's about the restoration of what? Tabernacle of David. I don't know how Jesus is going to do it. I pray that I can qualify to go to Jerusalem. I'm going to take a look and say, wow, we did it in 2010. It was way off. But of course, in the spirit only. That's how it is being done. We are doing a dress rehearsal. Revelation 5, verse 9. It just asks you whether it's worship or prayer. Revelation 5, verse 9. They sang a song. Or you know, you read some, it says they speak. Because the Bible don't make it very clear. Like for example, you go to Revelation 4, verse 8. They do not rest day or night saying, holy, holy, holy. It can be singing. It's not very clear. Is it prayer? Or is it intercession? Or is it prophetic? It all depends on your understanding of the Spirit, what he is saying of the now. For example, Revelation 5, verse 9. The 24 elders, they sang a new song saying, you are worthy to take the scroll. Worship or intercession? Worship or intercession? I'm not going to tell you the answer. Go and figure that out. You are worthy to take the scroll. Then what next? And to open the seal. Worship or intercession? It can be both. It can be worship in the sense that, oh Jesus, you are worthy to open the seal. It can be intercession. Jesus, open the seal. It's a thin line. But it does not separate. That's why understanding of the message and the spirit of God's heart is crucial for how this thing works. You know, we are much better right now because we are all on one page. How does prayer work? Prayer works on two principles. Agreement with heaven, unity on earth. Understand? That's why in any prayer meeting, we are trying to achieve this thing called oneness. Do you know that Pap and Bo, I've been to many places. I've attended many kinds of prayer meetings. I realize that Hub and Bow is the only one where we can achieve oneness. You know where's the oneness? Where we all understand the same message. We say yes. We all understand the same message. We sing the chorus line. That oneness. Agreement with heaven. Because we teach the Bible. It has to be according to the Word of God. We are all in one page. And we are agreement with heaven. Intercessory worship. Last one. Quickly, 5 more minutes. The last element is what? Antiphona. Do you know that most biblical form of worship in the Bible is antiphona? That's right. Now all these verses. Isaiah 6, verse 3. Singing to one another. Interact. You know that's how Jewish do worship? Then that's how Psalms is written. Remember the famous Psalms we always pray? Psalms 24, Psalm chapter 24, verse 7. Lift up your gates, O you. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Lift up your door, O. Lift up your ancient everlasting door, that the King of glory will come in. Do you know he's supposed to do it interactive? Someone will say, oh, who is this King of glory? The worshipper, whoever may sing. He is the Lord God Almighty. Another person will sing, lift up your heads, O you gates. Be lifted up, you everlasting door. Then someone responds, yes, this is the King of glory. That's how it is to be done. This is how it is to be done. The most biblical is antiphon. Read through all the Psalms. Another one. Psalms 136. Just going to read through. Praise the Lord, so on, so on. Someone, actually it's not echo. someone respond? His love endures forever. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. His love endures forever. Of course, he has to be responsive. You know, that's why this is hard. We don't practice. I was talking to a friend who saw us did one time. He saw someone scribble on the song sheet. He said, oh, it's all planned. It's all whatever. Say, try doing it. It's not planned. It's all responsive. That's how it's supposed to be done. You know, that's why I like this, because you can never do it good unless you internalize your message. You know, you stand up there and sing. When I hear you, I know whether you grow deep with the word or not. That's why there was a period, there's one person I know. When the person sing, sound, the line sound good, but something is missing. The heart and the understanding is missing. It cannot be fake one. That's why I love this. Hokkien say, U lian bo lian, kwa hien hien. That what is supposed to be in the Church of Jesus Christ, it has to be real. That's why sometimes you all know oi. No oil, what? Because everybody never read the Bible, never engage with the Lord. You think you come, you just suddenly can. The more you're trying to plan, the more it come out nonsense one. Trust me. You know, I see some of y'all come out, write all your prayers, and after second cycle, it's all off really, because the singer unlikely to follow exactly what we say, right? Unless go and put a pen on there, sing this, sing that. Because it's anti-furner. There's one more. Do you know that New Testament commanded us to sing antiphoner? He said, where? Turn with me to Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5. He said, all these are in the Bible, just that it's kind of like in the pockets, we never really see it. Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5. Is it Ephesians 5? Yeah. Ephesians 5, verse 19. No, I think I got it wrong. Yeah, correct. Ephesians 5. Verse 19, speak or sing. You can say both ways. Sing to one another in what? Psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. No, this is not talking about I go coffee with Cynthia. Let's sing to one another. No, that's not what it's talking about. Why you get encouraged? You know that when you do it right, antiphoner is edifying to the whole congregation because it's interactive. It's never dead. It's never rehearsed. He said, rehearse. Come on, I've been in worship circle long enough. Don't bluff me. Most worship are rehearsed. I go through their practice before, to the last full stop, went to sing new song. I know. But this cannot be rehearsed. Trust me, if you don't, I put you up one time. There was one guy who was really good in singing and music, so we put him up. In the end, he kind of talked to me, Kichong. Oh, how do you sing Ephesians 1:17? Got so much to sing. It cannot be rehearsed. That's why it's powerful. But New Testament commands us to sing antiphoner. Sing to one another. One more. Colossians 3. Go and search. I challenge you to do a deep study. The biblical form of worship is intercessory worship, as well as antiphoner. That is in the heart of the heavenly order of worship. That's what called the dividing order of worship. That's why we want to build a house of prayer in the spirit of tabernacle of David. Around the throne, 24/7, intercessory worship, antiphoner. Why am I so stubborn? Inverted comma. It's because God wants it. Colossians 3. Colossians 3. Maybe that meeting, I just play this. Don't talk. Hear this, then we talk. Yeah, there are four key people coming in the intercessory circle. Yeah. Colossians 3:16. Colossians 3:16. I like this. Let the word of the Lord dwell in you. No, the word has to be in you. If you don't have the word, you've got nothing to sing. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. It can be translated to singing. No, you don't take a song sheet and teach one another. Just understand this. Sometimes I don't know why they translate in such a weird way, but you study carefully, it's about singing. In teaching and admonishing one another in what? Psalms? hymns, spiritual song to one and another. Antiphonal. You see, in the Bible, the most biblical form of worship is antiphonal. In the heaven, worship is done in antiphonal. Do you know in heaven they really worship in circle? No, I'm not saying that the thing will move. No, angels will move. We all will be standing before the throne of God. The angel will revolve, not revolve, they will fly around and whatever. But somehow if you read Ezekiel 1, cherubim, it's just one level below looking up. I don't know why they are slightly below, but that's how it works. Around the throne. You know, that's what God is looking for. Now I challenge you. Last one. It's 9:30. Turn me to Psalms 132. Psalms 132. You know, I believe that I've shared this is not just because we are doing House of Prayer in the Spirit Tabernacle. I believe God is also raising up end time forerunners that will advocate, have a vision for worship that is done in Davidic order. More than just that, you know, I my heart cry is that I'm praying for people who will make the vow like David. I will do it. I will have zeal. I will be consumed with it. I'll give the money. I will just center everything. No, work everything around to do it. You know, I always say this. You can never do a 24/7 house of prayer if house of prayer schedule center around your life. You want to do a 24/7 house of prayer? Your life have to center around the schedule of house of prayer. That's it. No, I'm not talking about in the aspect of commitment and just doing the thing. I'm talking about a house. You go and see Kansas City. They have no life. People who do night watch. You know what time they wake up? 4 p.m. they wake up. 8 a.m. they sleep. To people like them, their day is night, night is day, but that is their life. They have nothing. Because they have zeal. That's why they always call the night watch people the hero of IHOP. Because they make a lot of sacrifices like David. Because he made the vows. You know, we all say, I want to build a house, I want to build a house. What do you mean by you want to build a house? What really means of building the house is what David says. He made the vow, which I say, four things he did. He has zeal. He's consumed him. He scheduled his life around it. It's not when I'm free, then I come. You will never do it one. Because there's another problem. There's another thing. This year, your kid PSLE, next year, O-level, next year, A-level, or whatever. You promotion, you so on and so on. You never have a free time one. Unless you determined. And also giving money. I tell you, I'm praying for money. Because we need to pay singers and musicians. It's instituted in the Bible. You know, Nehemiah was so upset. Nehemiah scolded everybody because you didn't pay the singer and musicians. If you read Nehemiah, go and read Nehemiah chapter 12 and 13. The whole nation of Judah rejoices because there is priests, musicians, they are paid to do it full time. We are glad when someone didn't make it. How can that be? No, there are other reasons, but I'm talking about that. Let me tell you this. I mean, if I'm not wrong, someone told me that some of us even say this. I'm glad because I'm a parent. If I'm your parent, I'll be glad. Go and find a real job. What do you mean by a real job? You mean this is not a real job? It depends on how you understand. We will never have a 24/7 unless we have full-time singers, musicians, gatekeepers. That means wash toilet and whatever. We need that. I was talking to Hong Ling. He asked me, what's the minimum? Do you know what's the minimum? Minimum is 200 musician singers. I'm not even talking about gatekeepers. We need minimum musician singers. You work out the sums. If I pay you 2,500 a month, 1 year, do you know how much? 2,500 a month. Oh, very good. Come lah. I give you 1,000, Ken. 2,500 a month, 200 people for 1 year. You know how much you need a year? I work out the sums. What did I work out? 6 million. That's not including electricity and so on. I'm talking about paying. But we need to. It's a reality. We got to pray. I worked out some of this. I just need the people. I need the money. If I have also right people. I tell you, if I had the money, when you're talking about pay, I'll be inverted commas selective. 200 divided into 3 shifts. No, 4 also can. Every shift, one day divided into 4 shifts. One day they have 12 slots. 3 shifts of, no, 4 shifts for 3 hours. 50 people per shift. We work around it. What do you mean by you want the house of prayer? Is it a lip service? No, I want to say this because sometimes it gets me really upset because we all want the house of prayer. What do you mean? Are you going to do it? Are you going to give the money? Are you going to support people who are doing it? Do you know that you read Nehemiah? Nehemiah scolded the whole nation. You're not giving. You didn't come to the storehouse. I tell you, this day, giving is simple. Giving, just go to offering box, drop your money. You know their time? You know where's the storehouse? Storehouse is at Jerusalem. If you're staying in Hebron. You're going to walk days, you know. They don't necessarily bring money. They bring cow, bring goat. My offering now, moo. I walk from Mount Carmel. So what do you mean by you want to build a house? No, I must say this because we need people who is like David. We really going to do it. We need money. We need people who come and burn. We need people who are consuming it. We need people who stick out our neck. This is the way to go. I tell you, many people come and go. Because it's all about preference. I don't like it to be done. I don't like intercession this way. It's not about what you like. Get over it. I don't like a lot of things. And I don't like a lot of people too. No, I'm just saying it right. But I can work with anybody if because God wants it that way. I throw you a thought. What do you mean by you want to do the house of prayer? I'm not talking about just 4 slot, 5 slot. I'm talking about 24/7. What do you mean? What do you mean? When David make the vow, what does it mean to you? You know, it's easy to say, I will do the house. What do you mean? I have no answer for you. We have to pray. It's all up to us to respond. If we really believe that God wants to raise up a 25, you know, people say, come together, God will have one. God will never do anything unless some people respond. We have to respond. And that's it. Come and pray. Okay, I just scold you, then that's it. No, I'm not scolding you. Go and think. You know, we always say, I want the house of prayer, I want the house of prayer. What do you mean by you want the house of prayer? See, well, with you, my life pressure is less. Your life pressure will never be less. The older you are, you have more pressure. Your kids are all growing up. You say, wait until my kids work. Your kids work, you also have problems. We will never, if you don't prioritize, you will never do it. You know, let me tell you this, one last thing. A lot of our problem is got nothing to do with circumstances. It's to do with our mindset and mentality. Because we have decided it cannot be done. Then it will not be done. We have to change. You know, a lot of times I'm hard. It's not because I just want this, you know. It's all about ourselves. If we have, I tell you, in the end, we do 24/7. It's not about we doing 24/7. We actually did it. That means we have overcome. We have arrived. And at the end of the day, the greatest beneficiary is us because we have grown in us a character that no one can take away from us. It's inside. You think it's easy for me? It's not easy for me. But I decide to do it. There are many times in my life I decide because I know this is what I have to do. Because I decide what is the priorities. What do I want? If you don't set your priorities, it's always when you're free you do.